Y95, good afternoon. Wade Cleveland hanging out with you for a while now, actually. Hopefully things are going well for you on a Friday. Tell you what, I've got a very interesting story, and I've got somebody on the phone right now to talk about it. And what it is how do you do things in the Stay the Blazes Home kind of a world where everything is very, very difficult. And when it comes to music and the music industry, things have been extra tough because of the pandemic. Well, there's this Dock Street Ute Camp, and uke being a ukulele, and they do it every year. This year, they're doing it, the Stay the Blazes Home edition, doing it virtually. And I have on the phone a ukulele blues guy by the name of Manitoba Hal, also known as Hal Broland, who is the general director over at the Osprey Theater. And Hal, thanks a lot for talking to us.
My pleasure, Wade. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I've got to tell you, I've loved what the Osprey has done anyway, because they've been doing, you know, the kitchen parties, the Wednesday night parties that they've done, or living room, I guess, is more accurate. That's what you've been calling them, and a whole lot of other things. So it's great to see this finally working out in a big way. And with the actual uke camp, tell us about it without the Stay the Blazes Home part. What is this camp?
Well, for the past 8 years, my partner Nicole Kolbeck and I have been putting on this ukulele camp here in Shelburne, where we bring in instructors from around the world, actually, and campers come. We call them campers, but they're really just adults who stay in B&Bs. they come and they learn the ukulele, here in Shelburne on the waterfront. And we always do it in September, right around the time of the Whirligig Festival in town with all the fancy wind things, because the weather's still good and the bulk of tourism is gone and all that. And of course, this year we weren't sure we could go ahead. So we started talking. We said, well, why don't we just move it online and have everyone stay home and take these workshops by, you know, the computer with Zoom and things like that. And it was all Nicole's idea, and I'm thrilled that she pushed us for it, because I think it's going to be an amazing weekend.
Okay, so tell us about how the weekend's going to shape up. I know that you have a series of workshops, and there's open mics, there's jams that usually happen. How do you pull this off with Zoom and Facebook Live?
Well, all of the workshops are going to be on Zoom, so you pay to register those, and they're going to be webinar-based, so the instructor will be teaching you from where they are. And in fact, this year we've got Peter Moss from the UK as our instructor, so he'll be coming to you from somewhere in England and sharing his skill on the ukulele with you. And then the jams are similar in that they're also on Zoom, but we have to teach people to keep their mics muted and things like that, and just play along with the leaders, you know. And it's different than a jam where you're all in the same room, because you're only going to hear yourself and your screen playing at you. You're not going to hear 30 or 40 ukuleles, you know, which is a little bit of a disappointment, I suppose, but a small price to pay in that. And the jams are a free thing that we're going to be putting on. Same with the open mic. You'll register ahead, and then we'll just go performer after performer. And how this plays into Facebook Live is the jams and the open mic, if you don't want to participate in them, they will also be streamed to Facebook Live, where you can just watch them. And so people will be able to sit at home and just enjoy the music if they don't want to participate that way. Likewise, you know, we usually have a big ukulele concert where we take the instructors of the camp and put on a show for the registrants. And this year, that show is going to be on Facebook Live. So you'll be able to show up and watch us play and do our thing.
Okay, so can just plain nosy people like me tune in and watch these? Because I'd love to see some of these performances.
Oh, absolutely. Just like and subscribe to the Dock Street Ukulele Facebook page. And on September 19th, these shows will be going live. We also have a series of flash concerts through the day on the 19th, where we've got one artist from the UK, one from Brazil, and another artist from the United States, a band called the Naked Waiters. They're from Utah. And we have Digga Digga Duo from Brazil and Fragile Lucy from the UK doing concerts as well. And all of those are free to watch. We are going to be eagerly and aggressively soliciting donations, because normally we have people who register for the camp, and that pays for all the things we do. So this year, we're putting a bunch of stuff out there free, and we're placing ourselves on the mercy of the audience to support us.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's what's happened with the music industry, especially when you're talking about small town, small region musicians. How do you play? And it's really, right now, it's the only way you can get stuff done.
Yeah, it's true. It's definitely a challenging time for that. But there's also opportunities. You know, Nicole and I have been talking a lot about what this year means for our camp going forward. And, you know, we hold this every year in September, and of course we don't want to stop doing that, but we realize that there's opportunities to reach people who can never come. We have some people registered from Germany and a couple other places already that could never, but it's a big deal for them to come to the camp. Mm-hmm. And they've been interested in it for years, but now they can take part. So we're looking at how to incorporate more online opportunities with this event going forward. You know, once the pandemic has subsided and we all return to normal, this is not going to just be an aberration. We don't know what form it'll take, but we're going to continue this growth online with this as well.
Well, you know, here's the thing about opportunity and how it knocks sometimes is a lot of times, I mean, you know your region's musicians because they show up at places, but a lot of times you don't know anyone else when it comes to that unless they're really, really big. And what has happened this year is I've become more aware of more East Coast artists than I knew ever before and became more aware of different kinds of music that are being performed because it's all online and I can find it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think that the other thing that, of course, every musician out there is talking a lot about the lack of work. And I'm sympathetic when I say this. I don't want to leave anybody the impression that I don't want that. I know from my own experience traveling that the cost of touring and the cost of maintaining that public life is very high. And there's an awful lot of times where people who are very talented show up to a place and for whatever reason, it goes bust. Chet Atkins and Mark Knopfler put out an album a number of years ago, and one of the lines in a song was, "One day feathers and the next day chicken," talking about the kind of money you make, you know. And I think that the value of the online world that the pandemic has forced on us is that there are going to be artists who now spend a lot more time in their home territory playing online, building a marketplace.
Yeah.
And I see this as a really big opportunity. Of course, music should be live, and we should experience it with an audience. That's a huge part of it. But there's also room for someone to hone their craft through a small, dedicated group of people that follow them online, and that can build to a growth pattern, which is something that kind of disappeared. You know, 30 years ago when I started playing, you could get a job playing in a bar six nights a week, and there were bars for the guys that weren't so good, and there were bars for the guys who were really good, and you know, you worked your way up. Mm-hmm. You built a following, and then if you were someone who was really talented, you could transcend all that into bigger things. Those kind of pathways are disappearing for acts. Like, forget the pandemic. A lot of young musicians now, or starting out musicians, they don't have a pathway to build the following. They almost have to appear with one. And I think online is the way it's going to go for growth.
Good stuff. That's very perceptive. I agree with you completely. Speaking of which, Manitoba Hal, I am going to miss you at the Coal Shed this year. Tremendously disappointed that, of course, and again, like everything else, that the Coal Shed had to be canceled. But it's always one of the highlights of my year to be able to see all of these acts. And so it's kind of a shame to not be able to. But if we can all keep in touch online, then that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And I think that there's no doubt that the Coal Shed will be returning as soon as they're capable of doing so safely. And I know that every musician that I know is eager to play. So I'm sure that we'll all be back.
Thanks, Hal. I appreciate it. And we're going to close things off, actually, by playing a tune of yours that you sent along. And I love your stuff anyway. But this is Plenty of Fish. Hal, thanks a lot for talking to us.
Well, you're welcome. Just one last word about the Dock Street Ute Camp. Our website is Dock Street Uke Camp, that's ukecamp.ca, and registration is open, and there's lots of information about all the acts and all the things you can take part in, so we hope to see a bunch of you folks.
Okay, and that will, by the way, to all of the listeners, will show up on my blog, and the blog will show up within the next hour or so, and so I'll have links to all of that, including this interview. Hal, much appreciated.
Thank you very much, Wade.
Talk soon. That is Hal Brolin, Manitoba Hal, and here's Manitoba Hal doing a little performance. This is called Plenty of Fish.